program. Could you tell one program you'd like to have in Pope Joy and come to the university? What's an example of, say, certain black culture or entertainment you'd like to have here? And I just wondered if you hadn't heard of Hallelujah Train or what your opinion was. It certainly was advertised a great deal, and certainly the people, many of the people in the town knew about it. But another thing I would like to question is, what about the white community off the campus? Can they be helpful? Do you wish any help? Do you have any suggestions as to what white people that are not on the campus, as the white community, what can they do to improve the situation, or how could they communicate? How could they have communication with, say, the black students? And, any suggestions you can make, why? I'd appreciate to improve the relationship between the white community and the others on the campus.
Okay, thank you very much. Barbara?
First of all, like the whites in the community and relationship with the black students on campus, it seems to me that, first of all, the whites should be more or less trying to relate with blacks in the community, and then they probably wouldn't have a problem of relating to us. The blacks in the community and the black and white problem in the community, to me, should be their top priority. They should try to investigate into housing problems, such as discrimination in housing and things like this, the employment problems, things of this nature. And if you deal with the problems or try to become helpful to the black community, you're naturally going to relate to the black students, because we're concerned also with those same problems. So when you talk about us relating with the white community, first you white people in the white community relate with people, the black people in the community, and then naturally you're relating to us.
Okay, fine. Why don't we go ahead and go on? This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
I guess my question would be for Dr. Lavender. About a year ago, President Hedy said he was going to do more as far as hiring minority professors at the university. I'm going to try to find some black professors and try to find some Indian professors. I would just like to know what progress has been made along these lines.
Thank you very much. Dr. Lavender?
I'm not totally aware of what professors have been hired. As you know, we have over 600, and there are not very many blacks, as we all know, and not, as someone said earlier, not too many from the other minority groups represented here tonight. We have hired some administrative people who are black in the last 12 months. Our present the Dean of Men is a black man. One of the problems is that at this moment in history, the market is sort of thin, because the demand for black professors in certain parts of the country and for Spanish American Indian professors is so great that the competition becomes almost intolerable, particularly if your salary, if you're limited by your budget. I think that President Hedy's efforts are still in progress. I know that they are. I know that the academic divisions of the university are always eager to interview and hopefully employ professors from these areas. So I think I would have to say that that's about where we are at this moment, and certainly it isn't where we would like to be.
Okay, fine. We have a long-distance phone call, so let's take that one. This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Tony. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
This is Wayne Moorhead in Durango, Colorado. Tony, I'd like to address a question to Barbara Brown and also to Conway Chino. First of all, they can answer these questions after I hang up. How does Barbara feel about the black separatism as far as college is concerned, education is concerned as a whole? Does she think that is making more progress since integration in the country is moving in a very slow process anyway? And then to Conway, about the colleges moving on to the reservation. I'd like to ask him how he feels about that. And for an example, on the Navajo Reservation as the Many Farms Navajo Community College, which is in its infancy but is beginning to spread its wings a little bit. How do you feel about that? I'll hang up, and the program's coming in just fine. I'm enjoying it very much.
Thank you very much. I think those are two very fine questions. Barbara, why don't we start with you ladies first, and that was the way that the question came anyway.
I understood the question to be, how do I feel about black separatism? Now, there are two types of black separatism. The first type is total separatism, allowing no interaction between the races. Now, this kind of black separatism I do not go along with, even though I do not condone this type of black separatism. I wouldn't go out and talk against it, even though I wouldn't want to follow this type of pattern. But as far as, if you mean separatism as far as blacks wanting to more or less control their own programs on campus, or more or less stick together, unify and do things as black groups, but yet at the same time interact with the other white community, as far, like with the Black Studies program, have a Black Studies program that is run by blacks, controlled by blacks, I'll say, and at the same time allow white people, students and people to come into the program, like I think this is fine as long as there's some type of interaction. Now, when you say black separatism, the reason this we're labeled as separatists is because we want to get together as a black group and determine things. But I don't think you should call it separatism, because we're not trying to separate ourselves from the total white society. We are trying to get together and bring about some kind of effective change as far as black people are concerned, and we want black people to do this. So it's like, it's unity really, and it's not separatism, because we don't want to like separate from the total white society. We do want some interaction, but at a different level as it is going on today.
Okay, Conroy, the second part of that question was directed at you, and it concerned the colleges moving to the reservation.
I think it's good. I don't know too much about the college on many farms or how its curriculum is set up, or well, how it's set up, especially. What I do feel is that the college become relevant to the student. That whatever type of institution they set up, that it'd be where the Indian student's able to identify with just that fact, like the curriculum, administrators, instructors, faculty members, that that because it is situated on the reservation, to be oriented in that fashion, that like I said, to make the curriculum relevant, where courses set up that he's able to courses where they're able to be oriented back to the reservation, such as problems like unemployment and poverty, that we'd be able to study these things, and not what I've seen in most institutions where they have been set up and oriented into the Indian, are those that have been like vocational training, where the only thing the Indian is good for is leathercraft and this kind of thing. And it shouldn't be that way, that a lot of the girls are given a typewriter to learn by or something like this. And because I've seen it, and that's probably what I feel about the college right now.
Okay, we have another long distance call, and let's take it. For those of you who have been holding, we're getting to you, and please hang on. Thank you. This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
I'm calling from Santa Fe. First, as a woman, a WASP, I might say, I want to congratulate Barbara Brown for the intelligence and patience, may I say, with which she dealt with the gentleman who identified himself as director of Popejoy Hall. And it seems that he exhibited some of the arrogant superiority that creates the atmosphere of which Mr. Benavides, Mr. Conroy, and Ms. Brown all speak. Now, I wonder what possibility there is for the funding of a black cultural center, for the funding of an Indian cultural center, and for some of the things that Mr. Benavides asked for. What practical possibilities are there for carrying some of these things forth on the UNM campus today?
Okay, thank you very much for your call. If I could, I'd like to have a relatively brief answer to this one, and I'm going to just ask you, Dr. Lavender, if you could speak to that point rapidly, if you would.
Yeah, I certainly will. Obviously, money is a big problem, and you never have a conversation when you don't get around to it when you're talking about instituting new programs in a university, and particularly in New Mexico, where our funds, although our state does a great job of effort-wise, the amount of money available for all of our programs is unfortunately too limited. I think we have made a beginning in these Afro-American, Indian-American, Mexican, Spanish-American centers, and we are committed, I think, to this aspect of the programs that these students are recommending. The studies program is another matter. It would have to be determined and approved and set ultimately by the faculties, and it would be far more expensive than providing, say, a place where students could identify. But we are moving in this direction, and I certainly hope we get it done faster than it looks like it's happening right now. That wasn't very fast, my answer.
That's quite all right. If we can, let's just move on. This is the education process. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I would just like to comment and amplify some of the things that Barbara has said. Definitely, I feel that for black people, point one, black people must have pride within themselves and be proud as black people. Too many times our fellow colleagues that have been successful in professional life have left the black area. Maybe they've left because, sure, they've developed in, certain types of incomes and having, but they have failed to come back and add the technical assistance to black people in these particular communities. And this is the problem. But if this is something that I must say that we must emphasize, as Bob has stated, that black people must come back and lend their expertise to these people so that they can develop and see the initiative, see the leadership in these type of people. Also, again, I can say that something else, it is very easy for a black man to move into an all-white neighborhood and take the abuse and feel that all the particular types of things that happen to him or his family in that particular neighborhood. But it's very easy for him to do that. He can just say, well, I'm going to accept this abuse and move into that area. But number one, it's very hard for a white man to move into a black man's area. Because number one, if a white man moves into a black man's area, he won't receive this type of abuse. He will receive a somewhat, well, it's the guy moving in. But this is the problem. This is where we are today. You know, I've been involved in the poverty program here for some time, and I've seen these type of things work. And I must say to the panel that is there tonight, I think they're doing a wonderful job. And I just can't get over the kick of saying this, that black people must have pride within themselves. Whether they live in a black neighborhood or a mixed neighborhood, if they live in a black neighborhood, let it be one of the best black neighborhoods there is. Because they can have pride within themselves, not because when they pull up on their sleeves and move into, so I'm getting out, man, it's rough over in that area. Because this is not the answer. This is not the answer. We must develop our own selves, in particular areas like we have. We have an area in Albuquerque, which I'm sure you probably have been acquainted with it as you go to the university golf course. This is a predominant black neighborhood. But what I'm saying is people like, let's say, for example, Ira Hodge, people that have been successful, has gone to the University of New Mexico. They have done very little for an area like this where they could play less put-up people. We have successful doctors, black doctors, that has lent very little support in the strength of an area like this. What I'm saying is, as Bob has said, we cannot forget these particular areas. We must focus our attention on this, because if we're ever going to unify this country as we are trying to do nowadays, we must do this. Black people must have. Also, the white people must be acquainted with, say, we've done wrong in the past, and let's do right by the future, not just color up the window. You know, for example, when you put lights on a Christmas tree, you have all kinds of bugs. You have some blue, some red. It's coloration. Well, that is almost what we're doing with black people in business today. We're coloring up the store. We just can't have that. We got to let basic of their qualifications, let them apply, and seek them and get them in and offer the job. Same way with the Spanish people. I know, for example, in some areas in the city, white people or Spanish people move next to whites, and what happens? They move out because they don't want the Spanish people there. And the same way with the Indians. So, for example, let's look at this very deeply. I'm sure you got a large audience tonight. Look at this and say, what's wrong? If a black man has a nice area and a home meets his economical standards, let him move into there. Show the unity. Oh, I don't want to hold up too long, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think we had some very relevant comments. Let's just move right along if we can. This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
This is that arrogant director, Joy Harley.
Welcome back.
Martin. And again, I want to address a couple of questions to Barbara Brown, which she was not able to answer or didn't answer.
Okay, well, let me say we have about 3 minutes left.
It won't be long.
Okay, fine.
It'll take more time than I will.
Okay.
We do advertise, Barbara. We advertise widely in all the papers in town, including the Lobo. We're one of the biggest advertisers in the Lobo, and the Lobo has been giving us very good coverage. If you don't read the newspapers, you will not get our message, obviously. We also try to get it on radio and television, but, you know, one way or the other, the word is out that we are doing programs. You say you have never been to Pope Joy Hall. I repeat, we've done well over 300 programs in music, dance, theater, ballet, everything. You have not seen one of these. You automatically then dismiss all the wonderful music of the world, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Wagner, all the great theater of the world. You say none of this applies to you. We would like to know, we sincerely would like to know, what does apply to you and the blacks? You tell us, we'll bring it here if it's available.
Okay, fine, thank you very much. And Barbara, can you make it very brief, because we just are flat out of time.
First of all, you contradicted yourself. You said that these type of things didn't have any color. So if that's true, then I should enjoy anything that you put over there in Pope Joy Hall. Second of all, yes, I do know how to read. I'm a senior in college, and I do read the Lobo because I think the Lobo is a very good paper, and I read other papers. And evidently, I'm not the only black that didn't see your advertisement, because if so, you would have had a bigger black turnout. And if you were to interview all the black students on this campus, I'm sure you'd find that 99% of them is in the dark about your programs the same way that I am. And if you want to continue this discussion farther, you can reach me at the Afro-American Cultural Center, and I'd be glad to come in and see you.
And thank you all very much. The director is going frantic. Good night.
With black and with American Indian students. Faculty, students, and members of the administration at UNM are currently involved in a number of efforts to develop appropriate academic and service programs to meet these needs. The problems that face members of minority groups are not peculiarly and exclusively related to university life. They are part of the larger fabric of society itself. Minority-related programs at the university level, important though they are, cannot solve all of the problems of the minorities. They are only a part of what must be a total societal effort.
Thank you, Dr. Hedy. Our guests on this program are Dr. Harold Lavender, Vice President for Student Affairs at the University of New Mexico. And Dr. Lavender, it's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Third visit by
you. Yes, glad to be here.
And Ms. Barbara Brown, who is a member of the Black Student Union at the University of New Mexico. Mr. Conroy Chino, member of Kiva Club at the University of New Mexico. And Eddie Benavides, who is on the President's Advisory Council, the Arts and Sciences Dean's Advisory Council, and also in Student Affairs. Gentlemen and ma'am, I'm very pleased to have you all here, and I would like to pick up where Dr. Hedy stopped and start by asking you some of the problems of your particular ethnic group that might be solved and have been solved partially or totally by the University of New Mexico. And Eddie, I'd like to start with you.